everybody, and welcome to my podcast, Fulfillment in Faith. I am your host, Shannon Bondor, and I am a best-selling author, mentor, mindset and manifesting coach, and public speaker. Today's episode is a continuation of my series, You Are Not the Only One. I was brought forth to do this series because during my healing from my addiction to alcohol, there were so many times that the universe had brought me to silence. And during those times is when I learned so many things about myself and I was guided. I was guided to talk openly about my past, my abuse, my addiction, and to speak my truth. From those moments of silence is when we learn, we grow, we teach, and then we help others. Hello, everyone, and welcome to my podcast, Fulfillment in Faith. And of course, my passion project, which is the series, You Are Not the Only One. Today, I have an absolutely wonderful and amazing guest from all the way around the world, and the lovely Ambila Nath. So I would like to welcome you, Ambila. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's get right into this. What we're going to do is just, if you can tell everybody a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and then you can go right into your story.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Ambila, as I was wonderfully introduced by Shannon. I'm in the UK, in the north of England. So I'm in a place called Liverpool. And I am a spiritual business coach. I'm also a tarot reader and energy healer. And I help people learn manifesting skills to grow their business, to create daily habits, to align their energies, and really tap into that intuitive part. The strategic is given, but I teach the intuitive part on how to really use that and fast track that for your business and your life.
And so, you know, we all have a story. We all have a background. What I want the audience to know is there's always something, as you know, which brings us to our moments of silence. Mm. Now, you have an incredible story. So I would like you to share that with the audience, please.
Well, thank you. So my story is that I came from a very logical background. I'm a British Asian being Indian. Because I know Asian is different in different parts of the world, but Indian, British woman, and I'm second generation in my family. So when we came into the country, my parents held on to our identity, our culture really tightly. Upbringing was great. It was fun. Yes, there was, you know, the cultural little bit battles, but it was a really, really happy childhood. The battles started when I hit 20, because that was the time when I started to really come out to myself and have my own identity and independence and ways of thinking. My father always wanted us all educated, so that was never a problem. But what was a problem was that once I had met that goal in his mind of us being educated, meaning me and my siblings, then it was, you need to conform back into the box. You need to fit back into the box that we understand. And that box for me meant that I was a woman, I was meant to get married, I was meant to have children, and I was not meant to do anything relating to my own dreams or anything of that. And of course, as I said, excelled in my studies. I had a wonderful corporate career. I was high flying. I was a huge success. But in my parents' eyes, I was a failure in the society I was surrounded by. I was a failure because I was approaching 25, 26, and I was getting over the hill. I should have been married by now. I should have been pregnant by now. You know, but instead, I'm this high flying, you know, career woman, and I'm kind of climbing the career ladder and everything.
Can I ask you something? So, you know, as you're excelling and you're following your dreams and aspirations, and you know, you're obviously leading a happy life because you know you're going towards your goals and your dreams. And you say 25 is, you know, getting old over the hill, right? Did you have other siblings that were going through the same process that you were going through, or no?
No, they went through different processes. So my but each sibling had their own story. So but no sibling had it easier. They just had a different story that they, went through. My story was that I was the last one. I'm the youngest. So I, wasn't conforming when all the others kind of had made a happy medium to make their lives work. But me, it wasn't that I didn't want what they wanted for me. I just wanted it in a different format. I knew I was very clear on the type of person I wanted to spend my life with. And my family circle was not surrounded by those kind of people. I wanted somebody who would be confident enough to allow me to live my dreams as well as me supporting his. And in that era, those kind of men didn't exist because it was very much about, male, well, not that it doesn't happen now, but male insecurity regarding if the woman is doing better and they're not, so it was that kind of a battle. And that was more the battle I was kind of having from my father and my brother because, that they, as men, were probably feeling it more and then kind of projecting it out. So as a result of that, I ended up walking out on my family. And I moved to a city, not this one, the city before, where I didn't know anybody. Completely new environment, new friends, new everything. I just literally packed my bags and that's all I came out with. And for 2 years, my family didn't know where I was, but I used to send them letters just so my parents wouldn't think that I'm lying in some gutter. So I would send them letters, letting them know just the positives. I never shared the loneliness and the pain and the healing process that I was going through, by myself and creating my new life.
Did they know why you had left? Were you forthcoming and say, this is why this is happening. I have to leave.
Yes, I left them a letter, and in that letter, because I had started to my coaching training, so in that letter, I didn't pass any blame on. I didn't say, you did this, you made me unhappy, you did that, did this, everything. I just went, I can't meet the expectations that you want me to. The gist of it, of course, was longer. And I need to think about myself and making myself happy because I can't make you happy. I've tried. And, and so the gist of it was kind of like explaining the reason why that I just couldn't meet your expectations. And now I'm going to go and do, what I need to do. So for 2 years, as I said, there wasn't much contact, just one-sided. And then after that, I was on a 10-year long journey healing all the relationships with my family to the point that now I have a very, very happy, good relationship with them. We have grown as family because we've been through more, together. But we've also healed through this, and we have had open conversations regarding it.
That is wonderful because, that would have been really, really hard on them because they don't know any different. And what a really special gift that you were able to give them through your growth, through your learning. Like that is absolutely wonderful.
Thank you. And I think that the primary thing that I learned through this journey was allowing them their space and time to heal. Hence why it was a 10-year long, because of course with my parents, unconditional love, straight back in, but with my siblings, it took longer. And I never, and I started coming and spending more time with family, but then I was just spending time with the people who were open to me and not, the ones who weren't. But I never passed blame on them. I never, regardless of how they were towards me, I was just always happy, cordial, and if you want to talk to me, that's fine. If you don't, I understand. And I allowed them to have their own journey. And then when they were ready to, I suppose, open up, I was fortunate that they were all. In some cases, it can be the complete opposite, that it just never happens. But I think in both cases, you just have to be accepting of whatever it is. For me, the primary was my parents were there, and that was okay. Siblings, I can work on it or can't work on it, but I was fortunate with the family that I have. And I think it's important to recognize that you've got to give other people that time and space rather than put your expectations on them just because you're ready.
Absolutely. You know, just listening to your story there, you know, with my story, I broke the generational addiction within my family, with me and for the rest of my children and grandchildren. And it's kind of beautiful because it's still kind of on the same level. You kind of broke that generational culture barrier within your family. And that's absolutely beautiful. And look at the ripple effect that it has had now.
And I can see it because my nieces and nephews are living the life that I fought for. And they recognize it. They know that, you know, not just myself. I mean, of course, you know, their parents, my siblings, you know, went through their own little thing. But I was kind of like the icebreaker. I was probably the final hammer, you know, that just smashed the whole, you know, paradigm of it. So their lives were literally what I had aspired to be. You know, they have successful careers, they're, you know, dating and living with their other partners or married, and everything is acceptable. Whereas my time, it was like, no, you've got to fit into the box, you've got to do it the way we recognize it. And but yes, so I see that and I'm grateful for that.
No, that's really, really good. Really good. So what brought you to, you know, where you are now? Like what was that driving force that, you know, there's that little bit of a gap that you need to fill in for me and your audience members?
Okay, so that's the first part of my story. The second part was that when I came into the this new city, I left my corporate job because my intuition was telling me at that time that now was the time. I always wanted to be a businesswoman. I always knew I was going to, you know, have my own business, but I just didn't know when that was. And after I had broken free of my family, that's when the intuition kind of kicked in. Well, now's a good time because the corporate world was changing, lots of pressures, burnout, you know, and it was just right. So when I left that, I was studying my certification to be a coach. But alongside that, because of the city I ended up with in the UK, is one of the primary hubs for alternatives, or if you want to call it energy work, psychic, you know, that it's got a lot of alternative therapies and things happening there. So it also started my spiritual journey, which was unexpected. You know, the logical part I'd planned for, I come from corporate and logic, so that was fine. The intuitive part, I never thought would be a part of me. I'd always gone and had tarot readings and, you know, palmistry, you know, you do, you're curious. And then one of the readers one day said to me, I'm going to be doing the psychic circle, would you like to join? And I just went, what on earth is that? And she said, well, it's psychic workshops. I help people to open up to their intuition. Being new to the city, not knowing anybody, I just went, yeah, great. So that was about a 3 to 4 year journey where she, and it was a group, and she really helped us to tap into our intuition. Really, we went weekly and really helped us to understand and use that intuition and really begin to study it and link in with the energy. So it's kind of like working a muscle because I did it every week for about 3 to 4 hours. And then occasionally weekends we do extra workshops. I loved it. And I all of a sudden realized that what was already there, I was beginning to recognize, and I was getting actually good at it. We'd be practicing on, you know, one another, and people would go, oh my God, this is great. And then all of a sudden, the spiritual element, again, logic is always parallel. It's happening, you know, going smoothly. Businesses are building, all of that. But the spiritual part, all of a sudden I went, oh, maybe I can make some side money on it. So I started, you know, the readings and everything, and it was super successful. And then my old mindset kicked in and went, but you can only succeed in one thing. And for me, that was going to be coaching. That was going to be my core, you know, business. So I closed down all of the abundance that the universe was giving me. And then I'm kind of thinking, why am I not succeeding? Why is money not coming in? And it took me years to realize what my mindset had been doing. So, a decade of studying, really homing in on my skills on the spiritual level. And then I thought, I want to bring the two together, but I don't know how. I don't know what model I can bring together where people, it will resonate with people. And it wasn't until, because I think manifesting, law of attraction, all of those kind of buzzwords have been coming in the last less than a decade, but people are getting more and more awareness of it, of how to use your intuition and what that means. Whereas before it was such a out there concept that people would think, no, if you're going to label me that, then, oh my God, I'm being dragged into a cult or something. So it's great that it's become so well known now that people are recognizing it, which made it really easier for me intuitively to kind of bring the model together.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to have separate identities for a long time because I didn't want my logic corporate world to know that I had this spiritual world.
And that's what I love with my clients. Oh, the whole identity aspect. Oh my goodness. I love teaching people about identity because there are so many of us and we don't even realize it, that the identity that we have isn't even ours.
Yes.
It's not even ours, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's, it's generational or and it's, we picked up this identity to people please and all this other stuff, and to actually unveil this to individuals and they're like, oh my God, I can actually change my identity. Well, of course you can. Absolutely you can, Oh gosh. Your story is absolutely wonderful. I just love it. To see where you were, breaking the norms, cultural barriers, all of that, following your intuition, becoming the individual that you want to be. Now you're helping hundreds of people out there. What is the number one thing that you feel that you learned the most from your journey?
Good question, because there's so many.
yeah, there is a lot.
But when you home in on one, you're like, oh God, okay, but which is the, I think for me, the biggest part was that, and I kind of, alluded to it when I said that it was a 10-year journey to heal with my family, but the primary part was that throughout that whole time, I was just me. I was just authentically me, not trying to, go back and then fit into pleasing them or trying to make them happy. I was me. And it was very much, they knew that I came with the energy, take it or leave it, but this is not going to change. In the sense that, of course, I'll change if I want to change, but I'm not going to fit into your boxes anymore. So because I came, with that energy, so being authentically me.
And what I like about your story is the fact that you stood your ground. Most people don't. Most people can't do that. And
it's hard.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it was easy. It was hard. Those 10 years were hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I stuck my ground. And I have amazing support in the sense of my friends and, I went to my parents because they were trying to still put me back into that box. But I was fortunate to have that.
Mm-hmm.
And the work that I'm constantly doing, because I'm a coach, so I'm constantly working on myself as well. So that really helped. I have the tools.
Absolutely. So what is the advice that you would give to somebody that's going through, what you went through with the cultural barriers and standing your ground and all of that? What advice would you give to them?
I would basically say to them, everybody has an individual journey and everybody's family perceptions are very different. But the biggest thing is be yourself, heal yourself, and don't try and fix other people. Because when you try and fix other people, then you're never really going to rebuild a life back. But when you're focused on yourself, not in a selfish way, but just in a way where you're healing yourself and giving yourself self-love and care, then that, as you were saying before, is a ripple effect.
Mm-hmm.
That energy will feed out to the people who aren't yet accepting of you. And
Exactly.
the universe works in amazing ways that if it's time for somebody to be exiting out of your life, the universe will take care of it. You know, and that's okay. So I would say to anybody who may be within this or going through this is very much just keep on being yourself. Keep on doing the inner work. Have a lot of wonderful support, strong support around you, not people who are bringing you down, but people who are lifting you up, because that's important. I had that, so that really helped. Journaling was something else that really, really helped. And please, because I am a healer as well, please, please go through the pain. It's not a weakness, it's a strength. Go through the pain. Allow yourself to have the anger, the tears, the frustration, the effing and blinding and anything else you need, you know, to help you to release that. Because once it's done, it's done. That part is my past. I don't have an emotional attachment or anger to it because I've let it go. So allow yourself those times. But just be gentle on yourself. That's what I would say. And don't put a timeline on the process, because there is no timeline on this process. It's individual.
Yeah. And that's so true. You know, for people to know that, you know, going through that process of pain and letting it go. And that's what I tell all of my clients too. In order to have a breakthrough, you have to have a breakdown. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so true. Because vulnerability is a huge strength. Where us in society, we're taught like, no, don't cry. You know, it's like, no, absolutely cry. You need to show emotions, and you need to feel your emotions, because if you don't, you're suppressing them, and they will always come out later on in life when you least expect it. Yeah.
That's what I say. If you don't recognize the brain drops, then eventually the universe is going to give you the tsunami. So it's better to deal with your problems when they're raindrops and manageable, and you know, going to cause you less pain, than wait for the tsunami when, everything else seems to be falling apart too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So where are you now? Where are you now in your life?
I am a, as I was saying before, spiritual business coach. So I help people to tap into that intuition, because I've been working on it for over decades, and I love it. I love that energy work. I love that connection. But then being able to say to people, this ability, this whatever you want to call it, skill, is available to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be, you know, spiritual, put that tag on yourself. It's just techniques that, you know, anybody can use. And so I teach people that technique. I teach them using how to grow their business. But equally, I'm a tarot reader, energy healer, but also do a lot of public speaking relating to this topic, because for me, it's a passion project. It's really important. And when people can, even if they just take one thing away that they can use and it changes their life, big or small, for me, I feel I've served the universe and my job is done. You know, whether I ever hear from them again or never hear from them again, or, you know, however it may be, the fact that whatever it is I've said or done has helped to change somebody, that for me is, I've served the universe and what I'm meant to be doing.
And I want the audience members to know that all of the information is in the podcast notes. So if you would like to dive deeper into this, you can contact, all the contact information is there. Now we're getting to the closing of the podcast here. So is there any final words that you would like to say to the audience?
When you're working with your intuition, lots of people know it by so many different names, my gut feeling, butterflies in my stomach, I just have a knowing. It doesn't really matter what names you want to give it. There's so much information out there. Go with what you're ready for and really begin to listen to the, you know, signals and signs that you're getting. Again, you don't have to be spiritual in order to do it now. There's so many mainstream things, but I would definitely say read up about it, tap into it, really find because it helps your inner work as well to really deeply understand yourself. So please follow me. You've got all of my stuff there, but equally anybody else, you know, doing similar that resonates with you. But yeah, use that energy. Skills and everything else on the logical part is great to have, but this is like a being on the superhighway rather than just on the highway to getting you to where you want to be.
Well, thank you so much for being a part of my journey here, Ambila. It was just a pleasure to meet you. And so I want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you so much for creating this platform to be able to share the story. And hopefully it'll help somebody.
Yeah, I really think it will. And like I said, all of the information is in the podcast notes. So if this podcast really resonates with you and you're really drawn to Ambila, please reach out to her. Everything's in the podcast notes. And final goodbyes. Thank you very much. I want to say thank you for sharing this time with me. And don't forget to subscribe so you receive every episode. And please share this podcast with others. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram. And if you would like more information on my mindset and manifesting coaching, go to shannonmondor.com. Until next episode, blessings to all, and thank you for being a part of my journey.